Ladies and gentlemen, this episode of Cheap Heat is brought to you by Casper. All right, Casper mattresses, incredible night's sleep right there for you. Try it out, 100 nights risk-free. Go to casper.com/heat. That's casper.com/heat. Use that code HEAT, okay, for $50 towards the purchase of your mattress. Terms and conditions apply. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the number something or other, let's call it 76th ranked sports and recreation podcast on planet Earth on this Thursday, mid-morning on the East Coast, where there is now repug, gross, black sludge everywhere after what was a, you know, snowstorm of Jace-esque.
Here, yeah. Not where I was.
Oh, you were in Albany.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get to that. I'm Peter Rosenberg, Stat Guy Greg. It's Cheap Heat. We are 2.5 weeks away from WrestleMania, so there's a lot to get to. But how bad was the storm in Albany?
It was crazy. This was probably the worst I've ever seen, but also, you know, kind of the best because I haven't played in snow in a long time. I was up to my knees in it. At one point, I walked past a mound of snow just from...
And Greg, much like Giant Gonzalez... being up to your knees a lot, you are 8 feet tall. Seven foot ten.
So that's at least 3 feet of snow right there.
That's exactly
three,
right.
4 feet of snow. And there was one mound that I walked past that had, you know, they plowed the streets so that cars could get through, and it was up to my shoulder.
No.
Yeah, I have photographic evidence.
What did they get in Albany?
I don't know. I wasn't checking the weather. I was just looking out the window. I saw cars get covered. They must have got at least 2 feet, though.
And how long were you stuck there for?
I was stuck there for a day. I was supposed to come back on Tuesday, which is the same day that the snowstorm hit, and I just came back last night.
Were the Cheap Heat fans of upstate New York, though, very excited to have you there?
I don't think they knew I was there, but I'm sure they would have been
had the word been
put out. There's a show in Albany this Saturday, too, as a matter of fact. I'm sure they would have loved the Cheap Heat presence.
I got to tell you, that was poor timing by you right there.
That was,
why don't you just wait and go? You should have gone next week.
I found out after the fact that the show was this Saturday, so yeah.
Sad.
It is. But, you know, Raw's coming up next week, Monday, in Barclays, so I'll make up for it.
That's right. All right. Let's start with what's going on outside the ring, since there is a lot to get to. Greg, get us started.
I don't know where to start. There was a couple of things that happened this past week outside the ring. I guess I'll start with Stampede. What is it? Southpaw Regional Wrestling. I don't know what this is about, but I'm intrigued. Just yesterday, WWE sent out a tweet and also an Instagram post of a short video clip of a wrestling promotion from the 80s, Southpaw Regional Wrestling, and they said it's coming to the network this Friday.
And did you look it up and see what it was?
Well, you have to. Did you see the video?
No.
It's amazing. I'm definitely intrigued.
Is it a real promotion?
It is not a real promotion. You know, they have the wrestlers playing wrestlers and, you know, personalities from this promotion, Southpaw Regional Wrestling. We don't know where it is. We don't know, you know, who's the champ. We don't know any of the backstory. But, you know, John Cena plays Lance Catamaran, one of the announcers. You got Rusev was in the trailer. Lana was in the trailer.
Well, I got to watch. Does it look actually funny?
It does look funny. The club is in there, so it seems to be something they filmed fairly recently. And, yeah, like I said, I'm intrigued. I'm looking forward to seeing what this
Hold
is
on.
About.
So, and we don't know if it's a series or how it's labeled?
Exactly. I don't know if it's a series or if it's like a mockumentary or whatever, but I'm excited, though.
And it does it show in-ring stuff, too?
Well, see, that's what I don't know. Like, it showed John Cena at the announce desk and, you know, different people cutting promos and things like that. So it could very well be like a mockumentary. It could show some in-ring stuff. I'm not sure, but
it could be a mock series.
Yeah.
And where you see week to week what's happening in this made up regional territory.
Yeah, which
that would be amazing.
Would be made.
There's
a
lot of potential there. The potential of the cinch. Let's be paid. That's amazing. How did I not see this? When did they start running the spots?
Yesterday.
Wow, are they trying
on social media.
Are they trying to one-up, bring it to the table?
I think so. Speaking of bring it to the table.
Yes.
It's not on here, but amazing job.
Thank you.
Again.
Thank you. I appreciate you always putting me on.
You know what I like
podcast.
About that show, though?
The host, Peter Rosenberg.
Of course. That goes without saying.
The host is fantastic.
But what I really like about that show, what I think is so brilliant. Not to put you over. If we had the Cheap Heat bell still going, that would be bringing up the charts.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead, though. I like it.
But the thing about that show that I think is brilliant is that it gives WWE a way to directly address the smart marks while not, you know, giving the smart marks the time of day. You know what I mean? It's like WWE constantly throwing subliminal jabs at the smart marks who have no way to answer back because they don't have a bring it to the table esque show.
I think it's almost the opposite. They feel like they need to respond because everybody has a voice now, because social media is such a strong voice. So I think they do hear what people say.
They hear it, but how much does it affect their bottom line? Like, the same people that complain, they come to the arenas and fill up the arenas to complain. You know what I mean? Like,
very good.
We don't boycott. We don't change the channel. Like, we show up to complain. We watch to have something to complain about.
Right. So, that's part of the thing.
Right. In that respect, they don't have to address anything you say.
I agree with what you're saying. What I like, for example, is that, like, Corey Graves, in saying that he's not interested in Shane versus AJ, was being sincere. Like, I talked to him before the show. Like, that's what he wanted to say. And then at the same time, I think JBL's explanation was one that made a lot of people kind of go, oh, yeah, that doesn't make sense. I mean, it's kind of tight. Maybe we should be excited that we have AJ in a match that everyone's going to watch, instead of being like, he's against Nakamura, which all of us would be excited about, but to the mainstream world, they'll go, who's that? And right, it's not as big a deal.
And it's funny, too, because, you know, even people saying, like, you know, AJ Styles deserves a better opponent because he deserves a WrestleMania moment and a high-quality match. He had that last year at Chris Jericho, and it's like, how soon we forget? You know what I mean? Like, him and Chris Jericho went about 30 minutes.
Yeah, you got straight up wrestling from him last year. And by the way, and I also think we're doing going a little bit too far to discredit Shane McMahon's capability for a good match. And I'm excited now that he's sort of being doubted, because I think he hears that. And we all know that
of course he hears that.
When he hears the doubt, you never know what Shane's going to try to pull off.
Of course he hears that. He heard it on Bring It to the Table from Corey Graves. He's probably going to hear it again live from the Citrus Bowl. He's probably going to hear it again. Like, he might get showered with booze when he steps out there, but that just makes the chip on his shoulder that much bigger.
I don't think he'll get that many boos, though, because, like you said, when it comes to, like, the Citrus Bowl, you're talking about, what, 80,000?
Mm-hmm.
And the very smart, like, fans like us who are kind of doubtful, that's probably, what, 10,000?
Yeah, but isn't that enough to make some noise, though?
Smattering, but I think it depends on
if it's dispersed around, too. Like, it's not going to be that much.
He's still going to be, if they do this right, he should still be cheered. I mean, they are making – AJ has been pretty unlikable. Like, he's growing increasingly unlikable.
And that's what I was going to say. You said if they do this right, they have been doing it right. Like, that beat down in the parking lot was pitch perfect.
Yeah, they're hitting the right tones right now, I think, on a lot of the stories. Let's get through some of this outside the ring stuff, though, so we can really get into everything that's happening. Shout out to our guy – friend of mine who I'm excited. I did not know he was receiving the Warrior Award, Eric LeGrand. We should have him on the podcast soon. He hit me up this week. Great guy. Inspirational guy. Perfect for this award. And nice that it's someone who's, like, living and beating something, you know, and, like, it's not going to be depressing.
Yeah, that speech I think is going to be real dope. Like, he got an ESPY too a couple of years ago, right? Or was it last year?
He was honored at the ESPYs in the last couple of years.
Yeah, and that was the first I'd heard of his story. And like you said, I'm excited about this, because I think he's going to bring, like, a vibe to this Hall of Fame ceremony that's going to be real cool.
Yeah, he's a really great and positive, upbeat guy. If you don't know his story, they highlighted it on WWE this week. But, you know, he was paralyzed during a game for Rutgers in 2011.
Versus, was it Army?
Yeah, I think so. Told he wasn't going to walk again. Told he wasn't going to be able to do anything again. Didn't know if he'd live. And now he is still in a wheelchair, but he's constantly fighting and making progress and speaking to people and doing a TV show and just doing tons of stuff. Does commentary on radio. Like, just an inspirational guy.
And what I like about him, too, is, like, you always see him smiling. Even though, like, you got all that bad news, you never see him without a smile on his face.
Which what do you think the odds are that he gets interrupted mid speech by Wade Barrett saying, "I'm afraid I've got a little bit of bad news."
Zero.
Yeah, zero. I suppose Barrett's not even with the company. No,
he's not. So. It might be Kane. Didn't they send Kane out on Mr. T a couple years ago?
Oh, yo, was that? It was T, wasn't it?
It was T.
Yo, T's speech was so all over the place.
But he loves his mother though.
He loves his mother.
And who doesn't love their mom?
And in one sense, I felt so bad for him because he was confused. And in another sense, I'm like, well, what do? You could start playing music on him,
right?
But this is a funny way to sort of do it. I don't know. That was
The music might have been better because at least then everybody knows
what...
right. Everybody knows what the music means, but like, what is this dude? He probably didn't even know who Kane was. It's just a lot.
Oh, man. And then a big rest in peace. This is so crazy. Bruce Pritchard was on our podcast last week. Shout out to Something to Wrestle With, Bruce Pritchard and Conrad. And then they talked a lot during their Beyond the Mat episode about Dennis Stamp, who is a character in that movie who... His moment is definitely pathetic and sad, but it's also lovable, and you can tell he's a good guy. And he has this moment with Terry Funk that's just so real and beyond the mat. I can't imagine there's a person who listens to Cheap Heat who has not seen Beyond the Mat.
Right.
But if somehow you're in that tiny percentage, first of all, tweet us, because I'm amazed at it, @ Rosenberg Radio, @ Stat Guy Greg.
Yeah, and so then, we can yell at you on social media and
then
shame
tweet us
you.
Again after you watch it. I think it's on Netflix. It's easy. The whole thing's even on YouTube. It's easy to find. The Dennis Stamp portion is touching and sad. And they spent a lot of time talking about him on Pritchard's show. And then he passed away last week.
Yeah, which is crazy. Crazy timing.
I wonder what kind of condition he's in and if he was able to hear it and know that people have been talking about him so much. But really, really sad news to hear that about Dennis Stamp. But he's very entertaining in the movie if you've never seen Beyond the Mat. All right. So we get, like we said, we are just 2.5 weeks away. And I thought someone tweeted me yesterday, Greg, and said, a Repug episode of Raw. And was I the only one who thought Raw was Mage?
I disagree with that person.
You thought Raw was Mage?
Yeah, I thought Raw. I had a lot of fun on Monday night.
Yeah, I thought Raw was Major. If I had to choose my favorite moment of the show, that I guess number one would be the close.
Yeah,
Triple H right now, man. I don't care what you think about Triple H. I don't care if you think he puts himself over or this, that, and the next. Listen, Triple H is a complex character with a lot of – there's a lot to Triple H.
Right.
And I think there's a lot of validity to all sides of the Triple H's story.
Right, especially if you go back to late 90s, early 2000s,
yeah,
Triple
H. Yeah, for sure. And then also I think there's a lot of validity that he is the creative force behind everything you love right now. Right.
Yeah.
And
just look at NXT. Like, we can't wait for NXT guys to hit the main roster.
And he's the reason. I mean, I a couple weeks ago at Fastlane, I had dinner with Enzo, and Enzo was telling me about how Triple H basically just completely found him, plucked him out of the gym, gave him this opportunity. I talked to Triple H. I probably talked to Triple H at Fastlane more than I've talked to him, maybe ever. Probably the most I've ever privately talked to him. And he's a really great, interesting, charismatic, smart guy. So he's a complex character. Say what you will. What he did, his work on that microphone with Foley, it's as good as it gets.
Yeah.
Like, just as good as it gets on the microphone. You could go back and look at the guys we consider the best mic workers of all time, the Ric Flairs, the whoever you consider just the best on the mic. No one's better than that. As far as making you hate him.
Yep.
Bringing up Noel.
Yeah.
Oh, like, my
God. The cheap pop. And, like, that's the thing, too.
No, it wasn't a cheap pop, Greg.
It was the cheap pop.
It was...
They know what it was. It was Cheap Heat.
It was Cheap Heat, baby. And it was the best.
It was perfect. I mean, like you said, he just made you hate him on Monday night. And it's amazing because, like you said, nobody can do that. And the thing about it is, too, even those other guys that you might think of as, like, the great mic workers, like you said, when they're in the zone, you know that that's the character.
That's right.
When Triple H gets in the zone,
well said.
You're like, this dude is a, you
is
hate
he a
this.
Monster?
Yeah, like he's awful. Like, he's a terrible person. Like, you want to throw shit at him, excuse my language, but like, that's what he brings out of you. Like, he brings the worst out of you, and that's what he's supposed to do.
It's First of all, let's give credit also to Foley. Foley was fantastic.
And Stephanie, too. Like, all three
Stephanie
of them.
Stephanie, too. I mean, is there anything better than him then getting the cheap shot, her getting the cheap shot back on Mick?
The low blow, Mr. Sacco.
It's just, frankly, it's a lot. It's so good. I was so taken aback by, and also, let's just be clear, the entire world is being worked by the Seth Rollins injury. Like, everyone out here is like, I know everything about wrestling. I'm so smart.
Well, I mean, it's
Did they know that he was completely capable of just tossing the crutch?
I did not. I did not. And that was a question that I had, going into Mania. You know, he showed up on crutches. Like, the injury was definitely legit, but, oh, man, like you said, he's a machine. Like he said, actually, when he came up to Hot 97, you know, Rollins is just a machine when it comes to working out and rehab and getting in ring shape, because the initial reports was that he was going to be out about 8 weeks, and it was about 8 weeks to Mania. And now 2.5 weeks from Mania, we could call it 3 on Monday, and he's out there taking bumps and running around on that knee and taking a crutch to the knee.
Exactly.
He's ready. He's ready right now.
I was just so pleased with that whole segment. And, you know, that's how you do it. That's how you get people in the mood for something for WrestleMania and really get them geared up. And speaking of which, that is what this is my opinion of the two top storylines going into WrestleMania. You have Triple H and Seth Rollins now and Mick Foley and that whole thing. And you have John Cena and Nikki Bella versus Maryse and The Miz.
Yep.
And those are the hottest stories going right now. To flip it real quick, we'll get back to Raw in a second, but to flip it to the other show, The Miz and Maryse come out and do Miz TV. The Miz is, you know, just in his zone. Maryse starts off, I don't know if we've ever seen her grab the mic and do this kind of promo.
No.
Right? Never, correct?
Even on Talking Smack last week when she went off on Nikki Bella, I was surprised by that, because if you watch The Miz's other appearances on Talking Smack, Maryse is like, you know, the silent muscles. Like, she's shaking her head at everything that he's doing, and like, she's giving people the eye, but she didn't really say much. And then Talking Smack last week, and then this week on SmackDown, like, she fired off on the mic, and it's like, everybody just has something to say. And these feuds are being carried on the microphone, which I think is great.
Maryse was... She stumbled a little bit at first, like she just a tiny bit. But then when she really got heated, it got great. And let me tell you, we all love as fans when we can't tell where the line is. I'm telling you right now, without giving away too much, you guys know the people that I know. This story's real. This story's real. It's damn real. I don't even know if they know where the line is. I don't even know. I believe that what Maryse said in the ring, she truly believes. And what Nikki responded to, she truly believes. And or could be the truth, depending on who you believe.
Right. But, somebody's telling the truth.
And where this exists and how they have, if they've spoken, I don't think they've even really had any contact. Like, they're not, this isn't being talked through. I don't think, let me put it this way. I think with Cena and Miz, we're going to just see really good work. With Nikki and Maryse, I think you're just seeing a story play out, like of a relationship that has just gone completely awry. And then I got to give Nikki her credit. She came in and she grabbed the mic, and it was short and sweet and effective. And I'm excited for this. And I can't believe it, because this was honestly, this might have been the match for WrestleMania that I was most disappointed in the idea.
Yeah.
And well, now it's the match I may be most excited about.
Yeah, I was like, I thought it was a waste of Cena. I thought we were getting ready for a Cena Undertaker or something epic like that. And like you said, now I'm ready to see it. I'm ready to.
This was very strong. And then the other best thing that happened this week was Roman Reigns and Shawn Michaels, at least in my opinion. Now, I'll get to the downside of it, or at least as I saw it, but the upside was, I mean, was that not Roman Reigns just giving the crowd permission to boo him? Shawn Michaels comes out and tries to give you advice, and you're basically like, thanks a lot. I'm good.
Right. I mean, to be fair to Roman Reigns, though.
We know you will always be fair to Roman Reigns.
But let's be honest, though. The guy who failed at the thing that you're trying to do twice is going to give you advice and you're going to take it. Like, all right, I hear you. Who else wouldn't respond like that?
Well, someone might say, to hear from someone who's this great, who's taking time to talk to me, who lost both times,
mm-hmm.
That means he's seen the mistakes. He did it twice. So he knows exactly what you can't do.
Right.
And it's Shawn Michaels.
But, I mean, Triple H responded the exact same way to Shawn Michaels after his two matches with The Undertaker and then took two L's back-to-back. So, I mean, to be fair to Roman Reigns.
Who went first? Triple H?
Triple H went first way back, and then Shawn Michaels had, what, 25? No, it was 26 and 27?
Something like that.
Or 25 and 26. Shawn Michaels went back-to-back. And then Triple H
had another one with him.
Yeah. No, Shawn Michaels went 25 and 26. And then Triple H went 27 and 28. Because remember, Triple H went 27. Undertaker couldn't walk out. So they carried him out. And then Triple H challenged him again at 28 in the Hell in a Cell. 29 was CM Punk. But if you ask WWE, it was just Undertaker.
By himself.
Did you see that poll that they put out?
No.
It was a poll that was like, you know, rank. Who do you think was Undertaker's greatest WrestleMania opponent? And they had every WrestleMania listed out. It was like,
except 29.
This one versus Jimmy Snuka. That one versus Triple H versus Ric Flair. Like, so it listed the WrestleMania and the opponent, and then 29. It just said WrestleMania 29. Like, it wouldn't say.
It just said really.
It didn't say CM Punk's name.
It just said Undertaker.
Yeah. It didn't say Undertaker. It just said WrestleMania 29 because, you know, it's implied that Undertaker's in all the matches.
Right. Oh, but like, they're all Taker matches. That actually, that's very funny and doesn't surprise me because I think there's lots going on there. But
that's hilarious considering, like.
And, although I will tell you what, you might as well not have it in the poll because let's be honest, it was not that great. That was a disappointment on all accounts.
The match itself was a disappointment. I mean, the build and, you know, the pomp and circumstances were all great. But
I mean, Punk stealing the urn.
Yeah, even Punk, like, coming out in Undertaker colors and you know, that last final little dig and everything. Like,
I remember Punk, it was right when Paul Bearer died.
Yeah.
Punk stole the urn and was throwing it around.
Yep. Didn't he spill the ashes, too, at one point?
I think he may have spilled it, too. That was incredible. But I will tell you, in my opinion, Punk got somewhat exposed that night in terms of we all love Punk because of everything he is. And as a result, we took that into being like, he's the best wrestler. And I think that was the night when you realized, like, he's good. But he wasn't good enough to kind of do what you have to do with Taker now that Taker's aging. It does take a certain kind of performer to get the most out of Taker right now. He's capable of it, but he needs someone with him who will be great. Which, by the way, is one of the reasons, and I know it just sounds like I'm straight shilling right now, but it is one of the reasons I'm okay with the Roman Reigns-Taker match. I think Roman is capable of giving him a great match. Let's be clear, as we've said many times, Roman really doesn't have bad pay-per-view matches.
Nope.
So, and in terms of the physical strength to do what's needed to do and the athleticism to help Taker look good, I think Roman will be able to do that. Now,
who wins, though?
Well,
or should we save that for the WrestleMania?
We should save that for the I know what I want to happen, but there's only one way to want this to happen.
Don't we all just want Roman Reigns to go over?
No. No, that is, I think you're being sarcastic. You know that's only what you want, and no one else in the world would want
I think there's two people who want that. Me and Roman Reigns, at least.
You know, I don't know if Roman Reigns, I have no idea whether Roman Reigns wants that. You just never know with people. I've found that. Like, you really, it's hard to tell who cares about actually getting W's and who just wants the best results.
But yeah, you know what, though?
Most people just want the best results.
That's a fair point because, I mean, we as fans of, you know, certain people in their work, we care about the W's, but they care about business
and making money, reaction, and what it builds to.
Yep.
And
Daniel Bryan's a perfect example of that, too, because even that whole run with the Authority when he won the title at SummerSlam and then they kept him off TV and all this and that, like, he said himself that there were times when he was just said, you know, keep me off of TV because it builds that hype and it gets fans behind him more. So we were disappointed, but he loved it.
Well, what about this? What about they just were showing his like 24/7 or whatever it was, whatever 24, his documentary around WrestleMania 30. And the night after 29, 29 is when he got lost in 2 seconds, right?
No, that was 28 when he lost in 2 seconds to Sheamus.
Okay, that was 28? That night, which the fans were just so upset about, that led to the beginning of everything. It took him jobbing that badly to, like, really set off the movement. So you just don't know what... No matter what we think we know, we're fans. And the way we see it is we sometimes get it wrong because we're blinded by certain things. But I will tell you this. If what you want... It's all about what you want. If you want Roman Reigns to get cheers... The best thing that could happen, and you may not care about him getting cheers, but if what you want is Roman Reigns to get cheers, the best thing you can do is he has an epic war and loses. That's how he gets cheers. To me, that gives him the rub. He doesn't have to win. If you want him to continue to get booed and more so, he pins The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Wouldn't you agree?
I would, but it's only because... The fans, like the smart marks, are kind of short-sighted when it comes to Roman Reigns. I feel like, you know, like he gets all of the blame and not necessarily much of the credit. Like, you know, when he wins.
By the way, this is the sub podcast we do on Cheap Heat. It's Greg's own podcast called Roman's Revenge, where he just talks about Roman and how much he loves him. Go ahead.
It's long overdue. Long overdue.
Someone play The Boy Is Mine right now when you're listening to this. When you're home, you should play The Boy Is Mine instrumental when Greg does this.
But no, it's true though, because like. When he wins, right, there's this idea that
Roman... When Roman wins, we all win.
Facts. Major key. But no, seriously, there's this idea that he's getting shoved down our throats and that, like, they protect him. You got to make him look strong. But, I mean, he lost at the Royal Rumble. He faced Kevin Owens at a bunch of pay-per-views for the Universal Championship. Never became Universal Champion because he lost those matches. How is that not him... You know what I mean? How does the opposite argument not come into play? Like, okay, maybe they're not, you know, shoving him down our throats. Maybe it's not all about making him look strong. Maybe it's about...
Well, but Greg, you can't look past the amount of times in which he came over ridiculous, insurmountable odds to win. And to not only win, but win, like, you know, with his finisher in the middle of the ring, 1-2-3 against any sort of odds. He's done that many times.
He did that against Braun Strowman.
That's right.
But I mean, like, if we're keeping score... It's not hundreds of dashes, hash marks in this column and an empty column on the other side. Like, it goes both ways. And when it works out in his favor, people are mad vocal about it. And, you know, that gets recognized way more heavily than when it doesn't work out in his favor.
I want everyone to know that Bear, a.k.a. not a Jobert the dog, is now sitting on my lap and getting fur all over my Backlash t-shirt from like 2001 or whatever this is. I hear you. And I have mixed feelings on what you just said about Roman. That ends Greg's episode of Roman's Revenge. Let's talk about what I didn't like. So I love the segment with Sean. I love how it ends with him walking out in super heel-like fashion. However... Then he gets blindsided by Braun Strowman.
He got absolutely blasted.
Takes a hell of a bump, falls off the ramp. I loved all that. But what's going on there? Like, obviously it gives something for us to see with Roman because we won't see Taker that much.
Right.
But doesn't that go from you started hating Roman. You're like, wow, he's really a bad guy. He's dissing Shawn Michaels. He wants to beat The Undertaker. To now he gets attacked by the biggest monster in WWE. So I almost thought it was like a disservice to the work he just did in the ring because he ends up in a sympathetic role instantaneously.
No, not at all.
Why?
Because what did you just say when you got to the Roman Shawn segment? You said you liked it because it gave people a reason to boo Roman Reigns. But the WWE recognizes one thing about Roman Reigns, and that is that he occupies a weird space that – not very many people occupied before him. John Cena is the only one I can think of where a certain portion of the fan base wants to hate him. Actually, not wants, they hate him and they boo him with a passion. And then a certain portion of the fan base responds the way they want them to respond to Roman Reigns. So by having him come out and disrespect Shawn Michaels, as you put it.
It reinforces those who want to boo him.
Yes.
But then they give something to those who want to cheer him.
Yes.
I hear you, but to me that's just sort of half pregnant. You're right.
But that's the way they got to play it, because this is what they want for Roman Reigns. They have that decided, but the fans won't let them have what they want. So they throw out these little things here and
there. But why not? Okay, here's my thing. What's stopping them? Is he selling so much merch right now that they couldn't have had him talk to Shawn at the end? Shawn goes to walk out and he spears Shawn Michaels?
Oh, I would have loved to see that.
And then he goes all out bad guy from here on out till through this? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with doing that? And then when you eventually flip him, he'll be that much more over. Why not just embrace the booze for a while and then go to the cheers? I just think, to me, there's a reason that's worked in wrestling since the dawn of time.
I would have loved to see that. I would have loved to see that. Here's your problem. You flip Roman Reigns, who takes that spot as the top babyface? Because as much as we love Rollins, he's not the top babyface. As much as we love Sami Zayn, it's not him. Can't be Chris Jericho because he's going to go for a while.
I got one for you, and he's about to come back.
Finn Balor?
I think Finn is perfect. Kids love Finn. Now listen, you're taking a risk because we don't know if he can stay healthy yet, but you can't tell me that there's not a chance that the way they started pushing Finn from the beginning, it doesn't appear like they assume he's going to be of the highest level of babyface.
Okay. I like Finn, but imagine Finn Lesnar. He's just going to get tossed around like a child in a match like that. Granted, Roman Reigns did, and so did Kevin Owens and everybody else. But at least going into that match, you feel like this dude has a chance.
Listen, first of all, I think there's a way to book Finn where he could eventually beat Brock Lesnar. And I would love to see a story like that. I mean, you shouldn't beat him on the first time. You should beat him on the third or fourth time.
Well, maybe they have like a Daniel Bryan story that they didn't get to use Brian Lesnar that would maybe lead to.
Oh, exactly. There's a way to do it. My point is, I just don't understand. Listen, JBL said it on Bring It to the Table. Why Roman's great and why there's no problem with this and why fans don't understand, but this is what you want. I still don't buy that completely. I hear the upside to it, but I think ultimately, if you can have the whole crowd booing someone, and it makes for a better product, and it makes for the eventual time when that person's supposed to get cheered, it makes that more valuable. And instead of it being, you know, yeah, he's making a lot of money with merch, I think you can make a ton of money if you just wait. But listen, that's just what I think. Now, what do they do with Braun Strowman, though? What's the role here? And what do we end up with Braun Strowman at WrestleMania?
I don't know what Braun Strowman does at WrestleMania. But what they need to do, at least going into WrestleMania, is get Braun some of his heat back from his loss at Fastlane. He lost clean, but the way his persona has been built up, that's definitely not something he should be cool with. And he absolutely should be taking cheap shots on Roman Reigns. Like, Roman Reigns cost him his undefeated record. Never tapped out, never been pinned. And now he can't say that anymore because of Roman Reigns. So he absolutely should be.
I agree with you. That's a good point. He absolutely should be doing this. The question is just what it ends up meaning. It's not about whether or not he should be doing it. He should. For Strowman's character. But how does that affect Roman's character?
It makes him look sympathetic going into WrestleMania when The Undertaker is not there to do that and like build that feud. Because he's not going to look sympathetic against like going head-to-head with The Undertaker or any other WWE legend. So you use Strowman to do what the legends can't do, because when he's faced up against a legend, he's going to get booed.
Very, very good point. All right, take us through what else interested you this week in the world of WWE.
What do you think about Charlotte and Dana and this? They broke up on Monday, and Dana Brooke got the better of Charlotte. And I thought it was, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about the fact that Charlotte was this dominant women's champion throughout 2016. And then she starts off 2017 losing her championship, and then losing her unbeaten streak in championship matches on pay-per-view.
That's right.
She also lost her unbeaten in one-on-one matches in pay-per-view streak at the same time, a separate streak that she had going. And then she loses her protege and then loses a fight to her protege. This is Charlotte.
It's a very good point, especially a protege that people don't really believe could ever beat Charlotte. And my question is, what does it mean? How do they use this? What moving towards WrestleMania? Dana's not going to become a part of that match, is she?
She should not become a part of that match. If anything,
I know Nia. It's rumored that Nia could be part of the match.
Yeah, and if they want to expand it, she should. I think the triple threat is fine. It reminds you of last year, but it's fine as it is. But this shouldn't be what's happening to Charlotte, though. And maybe she doesn't care about the wins and losses, like you said. But at the same time, it's like we've come to expect a certain level of excellence from Charlotte Flair. And the character and what happens to that character in the ring, in promos, backstage, whatever. And the way 2017 has been going has not been reflective of that level of excellence, at least not to me.
Yeah, that's the thing. She's going to be hated by the crowd. That's what makes her Charlotte incredible, is that she's actually that good and gets booed, which is these days is almost impossible. That said, I know you have to do things to make her sort of a chicken-ish heel to a certain extent, but let's be mindful of what those things are. Like, let's not do it to the point where she's just doing things that are like, that's not what Charlotte would ever do. Like, that's not something realistic. I can't ever see Dana getting the one-up on Charlotte. Not at this point. Not until we see something from Dana that lets us think she could ever physically do anything to Charlotte. Because we've never seen her do anything, really, in the ring.
And even as, like, even as the muscle, you know what I mean? Like, her heater, she hasn't been impressive in that role. And, like, if that were the case last year, where, like, Dana Brooke came out and, like, and body chicks on Charlotte's behalf, mm-hmm. then when this moment finally came around, I could see it. But that wasn't the case, which is why you also had situations where Charlotte was able to talk to Dana however she felt like, because she wasn't really the muscle. You know what I mean? Like, and think about people in that role throughout history. Like, even KO and Samoa Joe, right? Samoa Joe is supposed to play the destroyer, the muscle. When that day comes that Kevin Owens or Triple H decides to talk to Samoa Joe the way that Charlotte spoke to Dana Brooke, you know that Samoa Joe is going to handle his business. Charlotte speaking to Dana Brooke that way was just like par for the course. There was no way Dana Brooke should have got the upper hand, I don't think. Granted, she'd been taking months of abuse, but...
Yeah, but it also hadn't been really featured. Their relationship has kind of feel like it's sometimes it made sense and sometimes it went away. Like, it's kind of been like when it's convenient, it's relevant, and then other times it's not even mentioned. Doesn't it feel like that?
Yeah. I'm,
like, sometimes she's not there at all.
Because she was gone for a little while, and then she came back and ended up right by Charlotte's side. And maybe this is something they pressed pause on last year and they were going to do and they didn't, but now does not feel like the right time.
What do we think about good guy Chris Jericho? We have not really discussed that. Are you enjoying it?
I did enjoy the Friends of Jericho comment that he made last week. I'm liking good guy Chris Jericho. I think Chris Jericho can play on both sides of the ball pretty well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's as good at doing that as almost anyone ever. I love that he can still do the list gimmick, too. Yeah. By the way, Bear the Dog really needing that love today.
Yeah.
Greg, Bear understanding that Stat Guy Greg is the physically strong Stat Guy Greg and wanted the touch of a strong man to caress him. No pause. What about Austin Aries in ring this week? The raw debut of Austin Aries.
I watched his match on Cruiserweight 205 Live as well, and I like Austin Aries. I mean. He was always capable. That's not a question. But you wonder about somebody coming back from an injury like that, like how that's going to affect their in-ring. Especially because, like, dude, that was his eye. You know, you don't know if he's blind or if he lost some of his sight or, like, how that affected him and how that would have changed his style. But I think it was dope to see that it didn't really affect his style that much. It got to show us how great he is on the mic, and he's ready for WrestleMania. And I think it's kind of amazing that he debuted last year at TakeOver Dallas, and by this year, like, he has a WrestleMania match for a championship. I think that's dope.
Not to mention what the match will get will be tremendous.
Because Bad Guy Neville is on another level.
Like, it's funny, too, because any other combination that they'd done, really, for a 205 match at Mania, I would have thought was kind of, not popcorn, because you know it's great wrestling, but wouldn't have garnered the interest. This one will.
Yeah.
This one's deserving. That's deserving of being on the card.
Because even, like, the main card, too, like, do not pre-show that match.
No, that should be on the card.
Yeah, on the card, maybe second hour.
I want to remind you guys, by the way, it is a special start time. 7 o'clock. Special start time. Here's my question for you. When was the last time it wasn't a special start time at 7 o'clock?
Dun, 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 dun. I think it was always special start time, 7 o'clock.
So the only thing that makes it a special start time is that it's different from the other pay-per-views?
Yeah. I'm guessing that's the only thing that makes it special. It's not special for WrestleMania, though.
No, it's special, but not special compared to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
That is what we are accustomed to.
Now, the two-hour pre-show is special for WrestleMania, because that's another thing that's happening, right? Pre-show at 5?
Yes. Pre-show at 5, kickoff show at 5.
Kickoff show, excuse me.
That's right. And, featuring, I believe, appearances by Peter Rosenberg and Sam Roberts.
Oh, and Sam Roberts.
Oh, yes.
Oh, are appearing together or?
We don't know. I have no idea. And also, let's not forget, Thursday, March 30th at 8 p.m.
Live from the Citrus
Bowl?
From
the Citrus Bowl. To bring it to the table. I'm telling you right now, the compliments I'm getting, though, on bringing it to the table are really stupendous.
Yeah, they.
Wale texted me like 6 a.m. today. Your show is the best thing smoking. No gas. It's perfect. You're so composed and quick, too. You belong there.
Yeah, no, he's right, though. It is perfect.
That's a very nice compliment. Very nice compliment. I did think this week was funny. I'm starting to get better at is mastering the looks to camera. Because when JBL is just crushing me, you know, it's not funny to fight back all the time. You can only jab back every blue moon.
Right.
Like, I hit
which
him
you
back.
Did. Yeah.
I did hit him. I hit him back a couple times, including when I said he's no longer allowed to do interviews on the WWE Network and made fun of his show being canceled. But half the time when he says ridiculous things to me, I had to learn to – I have to start mastering just hitting them with the Mr. Furley and looking at – laughing at the camera.
Right.
Because the audience knows he's being ridiculous. So I can't just sit there and fight back all day, and you can't be abused all day either.
Right.
How do you think that Corey Graves did in place of Paul Heyman?
Paul Heyman is in a class all by himself. I don't think Corey Graves necessarily was there to play the Paul Heyman role.
No, he was not.
But I think so comparing him to Paul Heyman, I think would be the wrong way to go, because you're going to want Heyman. There's no disrespect to Corey Graves, but if I have to choose between conversation with Corey Graves and the conversation with Paul Heyman, I'm going Paul Heyman every time. But
there was some upside to Graves over Heyman.
No, that's what I was going to say, though. Like, as between, you know, him alongside you and JBL, I think he handled himself very well. Like, he fit in very well. And it was good because with Heyman, you got a lot of him and JBL being on the same page. And with Corey Graves, like, you didn't really know what he was going to say because he's a company man. Not exactly, though.
Yeah, I thought so, too. I thought he did a really nice job. I was impressed. I've liked Corey more and more. By the way, I want to give a shout-out to my man, the Dirty Bird, a.k.a. Tom Phillips. AKA the place that the face that blanks the place. You know what I'm saying?
The Dirty Bird.
The Dirty Bird. The Dirty Bird, Tom Phillips. There's a lot more to get to, Stack Eye Gray. But before that, let's talk about my friends over at Sunbasket. Okay? I am a huge fan. All right? Doesn't matter if you work out a lot. There's always an excuse to slack off. You're busy. You're lazy. Whatever. It's hard. It takes time to build that healthy lifestyle, okay? And getting your eating right, that's an issue. Well, your body doesn't understand excuses. That's why Sunbasket is getting rid of them. Sunbasket makes it so easy to cook delicious, nutrient-rich meals in your own kitchen. They send you the pre-measured fresh ingredients, the easy-to-follow directions. It's super easy. You want to go paleo? No problem, okay? No matter what you want to do, Sunbasket has the food you want. There's gluten-free, vegetarian, whatever you want. All kinds of options. So easy, and it's such a great way to cook in your home and have fresh, healthy meals. So go to sunbasket.com/cheapheat. That's sunbasket.com/cheapheat and get your first three meals for free. That's sunbasket.com/cheapheat, all right? And you support the podcast. Get three healthy, easy-to-prepare meals free. sunbasket.com/cheapheat. All right, let's talk about Big Show for a second here. Shaq is obviously off. That is not happening.
Yeah, which is disappointing.
Yeah, well, it certainly would have been one of those things that they love at WrestleMania. Big celebrity involvement in a city where it's relevant and a guy who has a history that they teased last year.
Yeah.
And we're not going to get that. And Big Show is in the best shape he's been in like a decade or two. You know, maybe 10 years has been that since he's looked this good, maybe more. This could be the best shape he's ever been in, frankly. And, you know, instead he goes out and beats Titus O'Neil. You know, looks like angry and like an angry giant, but then they announce that he's going to be in the Battle Royal. So you can basically count on one of two things. He's winning that Andre the Giant Battle Royal, or they're really setting him up to have an important showdown in that Battle Royal. And
so do they bring Shaq back for the Battle Royal? Like, what would be the important showdown? Would it be Braun Strowman?
My thought is it's Braun Strowman, and they have Braun, like, aggressively eliminate Show. Right, you want to get his heat back that we talked about?
Right.
You have him straight up just like, not like they, you know, like he just clotheslines Show over the top and screams to win the thing.
But what does that do for Big Show, though? Because
no, well, I don't think at this point you shouldn't be worried about what you're doing for Big Show. Does it matter? I mean, if he ends up, the only thing that's really out there for Big Show now is stuff like the Shaq match, which didn't happen. Otherwise, his job is to make people like Braun Strowman look good.
But
I know he's in great shape, so it feels like a waste, but I don't see what else.
It does feel like a waste, and especially like if that happens in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, because you got to remember, WrestleMania 30, Cesaro won the Battle Royal by body slamming Big Show and throwing him over the top rope. So now if Braun Strowman turns around and does the same thing, is you have the Royal Rumble where Kofi's role is to come in and do that amazing save spot. And then
Big Show's to be tossed out.
Right. The Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
That's a very good point. Well, maybe it's the opposite then. Maybe somehow, is there a way that Big Show gets Strowman out? Like maybe it takes everything that Show has and he somehow gets him out and wins. And then Strowman comes back in the ring and just beats the hell out of him. You know, if you're to do something like that where Show goes over and looks good, you still can't have Strowman look bad. That doesn't make sense.
And, I mean, my thing, though, is, like, with him in the Battle Royal, like, no matter what you do, it's been done. He's won it already, and he's been tossed out in very impressive fashion already.
He won the first one, right?
No, he won the one in Santa Clara. That was the second one.
Is it the fourth?
This is the fourth, yeah. 30 was the first one. Cesaro won that, and then he won in 31. And then Strowman and Jace. Baron Corbin won last year.
Strowman and Jace. Now, speaking of a Jace, next week I will be revealing a very exciting collaboration that I have been working on. Foot Locker is doing a collaboration with WWE, and it's curated. By Wait For It. Oh, yes. Yours truly. And there is product coming. Can't tell you what it is yet. I'll just say this. Monday, Tuesday next week, make sure you're following me, Rosenberg Radio, Twitter, and Instagram. Because when we put out what we're putting out, it's going to be limited. And it's for the ultimate wrestling fans. And I think people are really going to love it. So
I think so, too.
And Stat Guy, you are one of these celebrities. Celebrities.
Oh, wow, thank you.
Being seated with a freebie. Because you are the SGG, the physically strong. Hashtag the physically strong. Hashtag SGG. So anyways, look for that next week. Okay, before we get up out of here, let's see. We talked about Dana. We talked about, let's see. Any thoughts on the women's division? My girl Carmella coming in and cleaning house with Becky Lynch and Natty last week.
Yeah, I said this before. I'll say it again. The women's division on SmackDown Live is the best. Like it's miles ahead of Raw, and it's because they do things like that. They give every woman a chance to shine, and they make you feel like every woman is important versus just two or three that are revolving around the top space. So I'm looking forward to that match at WrestleMania, though. I know that much.
Do we know what that match is going to be?
I'm hoping.
It seems like they still left the door open, like that if they wanted to change it, they could say, like, well, we said every woman had an opportunity, but the match is actually going to be.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like there's a possibility that, like, the week before, they could have, like, a match on a tournament on SmackDown, and, like, the winner takes on Alexa for the title.
I hope they don't do that. I hope they throw Alexa Bliss out there gauntlet style and have her face a bunch of different opponents. And then, you know, the final opponent ends up being somebody that we don't see coming.
Well, like a returning Naomi. But I have no idea if that's possible.
Yeah, or a debuting Asuka.
Right.
But we also have no idea, like, you know, what her NXT storyline is going to look like by WrestleMania Sunday. But I'm hoping they do that, and then that person becomes the new SmackDown Live Women's Champion and just shake things up a little bit.
I got to tell you guys, at the house show at the Garden last week, which was a great time, always is, I nerd out because it was a Sunday matinee. No matter when I go to house shows in New York, particularly at the Garden, but it's the same way at Long Island too. No matter when I go, it just feels special. It just feels like this is what it used to be. Like this is, it still feels that way. It still feels that way. Especially because like random stuff happens. Like Brock Lesnar had a Kevin Owens match.
Right.
At the house show.
And destroyed Asuka, him, right?
He destroyed him. And Asuka debuted. Asuka had a main roster, if you will, debut at the house show. There's just cool stuff that happens there, but with the thing that two things they debuted and then the merch, you see merch out first. That Kevin Owens, the new Kevin Owens Mania shirt.
Oh, the
was
KO
out.
Mania 2?
KO Mania 2 was out. And that new Usos gear they were wearing.
Oh, I love the new Usos.
The new Usos is tight.
Yeah, I love the new Usos. As soon as they made that change, I was like, okay, I can get on board with this. Like, and they pick it up
they just
every
need,
week.
They need to give them, they need to be ruthless to people. But they were in the hoodies that say day one-ish. I'm like, yo, that just like, they're like just a rap group now.
the Sue Wusos.
Yeah, exactly. The Sue Wusos. That's a great call. But yeah, the day one-ish hoodies are dope. Kudos to them. Guys, it's a quick episode this week. It's NCAA Thursday, so I have a bunch of stuff I have to do. But like I said, next week, going to give you this info on the new stuff. Still figuring out what time our event that we're going to do that's Cheap Heat related is going to be likely Saturday early afternoon. That is when there will likely be an opportunity to come out, take pictures, get some gear, hang with myself and the SGG. Do we see a returning Brian Campbell? Do we see a returning David Shoemaker? Is there some sort of podcast? I don't know, but it's an opportunity to see the people. So that is what will happen. We'll let you know, obviously, by that week leading into WrestleMania, that certainly you will know by, was next week the last week, in theory, before our Mania week show?
Yes.
Wow. Well, I hope to tell you then next week when that information is. Otherwise, make sure you follow us at Rosenberg Radio, at Stack Eye Greg, and do us a favor. Like we said last week, you got a ton of positive feedback last week.
Yeah.
Really nice. Do us a favor, though. Go ahead and rate the show on iTunes. Leave a comment. Give us 5 stars if you've never done that before. It helps, especially right now while we get into this new era.
Yeah, and I will say this, too. I mean, what were we, like number 71?
Something like that.
I'm very happy for David Shoemaker. But I was happy slash heartbroken to see that he was number one and we were number 100 at some point. It's like
that
we
happened.
Got, that is
shameful.
That is a thing.
Now, but you
that
know
happened.
That, you know that the way that those rankings work is that new, the ones getting new subscribers become the biggest. And Shoemaker's podcast finally got its own feed last week.
But still,
I agree. The principle.
We don't want him dropping down to set. We don't want to be 71 and 72.
No,
you know
exactly.
What I mean?
We want to join him.
Yeah, at least have us like both top 20.
That's
you know,
a good
both
point.
Top 25.
Well, listen,
that's not too much.
By the way,
ask.
You can do that by if you listen some other way, subscribe. Rating on iTunes, like I said, leaving comments. Even if you listen to us on the ESPN app, for example, go to iTunes and rate us, leave a message there. Subscribe there too. Show love. Rosenberg Radio, Stat Guy Greg, and
Bear the Dog.
And at Joe Bear the Dog, not a Joe Bear. Mage, Bear the Major Dog of the Cinch. Stay mage, guys.